next session with 31401, Reel 2.
Was there ever any question during the initial stages of the DD operation and the days following that it might not be a success?
Well, if they had, it was never conveyed to the lower ranks. It may have been the COs or even the brigade commander that might have had it had been coming down from Corps to division to brigade. But no, I don't think that would be true at all.
What was your experience of morale as a whole?
Very good. Very good. Amazingly good, actually. I would say that we appear to be very what's the word I'm thinking of? I'm sorry that I'm keeping you there. Everybody seemed to have the idea that victory would come, and it came quite fast in the end, actually, but that's for a little bit later on. I always admired these lads. They were young. The average was about 22 to 23, supplemented by the company sergeant majors and senior sergeants. But the gist was that these were young lads going in to something that they'd never met before. Like myself, really. But there we are. It was then, of course, it was a gradual push out of France into Belgium, into Holland, and then from Holland into Germany. There was one area there. There was a big in Holland. There was this big house. They called it the castle, but it was a big house, and apparently it had been taken over by the Dutch SS, and they were ordered to take this place. It started off with tanks shelling the position, and then 70 had an idea that they would put down mortar fire, but not explosives. The fire, oh dear, what's the word I'm thinking of? It was smoke bombs, and they put that on the roof, and that started the fire in the roof, and the fire came down, and then they were ordered to attack. It was a terribly cold time, and the only cover approach was through a moat. So they had to go through the moat in this freezing cold weather. They come up and the snow was on the ground, and they came out and they had to lie there for several hours. In the meantime, one tank had come up and fired, but the ground was so slippery, the recoil had taken the tank and the tank had gone into the ditch. So that was finished. Anyway, once the fire had started, it went came down, and these lads then went in, and the casualties to the Germans was quite high. Actually, they tried to get some of them away on the horse-drawn ambulances, and of course the fire that was going on killed the horses. That there was very little movement at all as far as the ambulances were concerned. And one of the most striking things to me was these young boys. The ages has gone down from, I would think, from 20. Yeah, it was 25. We would have been then, because they'd registered in 1939, and they'd been called up. I was called up on the 16th of October, 1939. So, but it was the way that these young boys, the dead, with this exceptionally cold weather and rigor mortis, they were just pulling them up, and they would stand, take off their what they call them, their number and rank and all the rest of it. What the devil did they call those?
Dog tags.
Dog tags would be just right. Yeah, and they take those off and they just leave them go then and push, and stiff as boards. But it was something remarkable that people could fight what the heck hell they did in Russia. I don't know, but it showed that, you know, even the worst of conditions that we'd really met, to have to go through this moat, come out, lie in the snow, and then do these attacks, that was in Belgium. No, I beg your pardon. It wasn't. It was in Holland. I'm sorry.
What was it that kept people motivated then, do you think?
Oh, very difficult for me. Very difficult for me to answer that one. What kept them? You motivated yourself, actually. There never seemed to be any question of we were going to win this war, and that was it. Supplemented, of course, by the Yanks. But, I don't think there was any problem there at all.
What sort of condition did you find Belgium and Holland in as you were advancing?
Oh, Belgium wasn't so bad. France, in the areas that we were in, was quite good. The amount of food, completely different to the rationing that we were experiencing in here at that time, over here at that time. Belgium didn't seem to be too bad as far as food was concerned, but Holland was very, very bad. I was billeted on on a house there, and they had two small boys, and they were really undernourished, and I know that one of our numbers was, this is just going off a little, one of our numbers was missing for 3 days, and he had got, I don't know why, he'd gone out looking for chickens to kill for the Sunday, for the Christmas lunch. We had loads and loads of food. And he'd been shot through the fleshy part of both legs by a German patrol. And then he'd gone in to hide into a pigsty. And I don't know if I'm diverting or of any interest. He was in there for 3 days, and on Christmas Day, I was duty officer, and this thing came over the wireless that there was something coming down the road, something, they thought it was a big dog. It wasn't, it was this chap who'd been missing for 3 days. Then they'd said, oh, it's Lewis who's been missing. And I left battalion head and went up to see this lad, and the MO was there, and he'd cut away his trousers, and both his legs were black, and it ended up that he had both legs amputated. And then we lived in Barnes at that time, and there was a chap sitting in an automated wheelchair, and it was this fella that we met after 5 years, and he only lived about a quarter of a mile away from where I lived, but we never saw each other. And then, of course, we grouped around him, the ex-service men, and we took him down. He was taken down to Brecon and for these reunions and all the rest of it. Anyway, that's by the by.
How did you celebrate Christmas in 1944?
Oh, very quietly, actually. Very quietly. It was in Holland. And I'm trying to think now. I was on duty on Christmas Day, I know that, but I don't think there was any drunkenness or anything like that going on. I think everybody was pleased to have survived into that period, into the Christmas period. And by the way, the battalion had lost so many men that it became the casualties was 270 odd killed, 600 wounded, so the 750 was replaced completely. It was very few of the old ones. I was one of the old ones that was still knocking about. But no, the casualties are very, very high, actually. I'm not saying the dead, but the dead was quite high. But it was the wounded, which was 600 wounded. So the whole battalion had been changed completely, really.
How much did the possibility of being wounded or killed prey on the mind, did you find?
I think everybody thought that it would never happen to them. That was the answer to that. I don't think that anybody... No, I can't see that. It didn't affect me in that way, that I was frightened. But and I don't think that it affected anybody else, basically. Everybody hoped that it wouldn't happen to them.
What sort of reception did you get from the population in Belgium and Holland?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. In both Belgium and Holland, they went out of their way to welcome us. It was a wonderful feeling.
What happened then as the new year started in 1945?
Where are we in 1945? Where were we? You were asking, it says here, it was not a gay cosmopolitan centre like Brussels, because the winter of 1944-45 had hit the Dutch very hard. There was a severe shortage of food, and people looked pale and exhausted, except on the farms. Nijmegen, too, was regularly shelled, and swarms of V1s passed overhead. The effect of these conditions upon the civilian population may be illustrated by a dance that was given for the public. Give me that question again.
Just wondering what the battalion was doing as the new year arrived.
Well, of course, the battalion then was up on the island between Nijmegen and Arnhem. The Germans had blown the dikes and the area was flooded. It was a very uncomfortable sort of a place to be in, to be quite frank with you. But that was the island, Nijmegen and then Arnhem up there. And eventually, after all this patrolling was going on, the Germans had withdrawn, and we crossed, it's not the nether, not the Northern Rhine, where was it? Let me see here. The final division of this is to take Arnhem. The final divisional plan was that 56th Brigade should make the first crossing of the Yser, followed by 146 and 147 brigades, respectively. Within 56th Brigade, 2nd Gloucesters were to cross first and form a bridgehead, while 2nd Southwest Borders and 2nd Essex passed through and attacked Arnhem. On the night of the 12th of April, the 2nd, that would be 1945, the 2nd 24th climbed into their Buffaloes, armoured amphibious troop carriers, moved towards Yser. The approach roads were somewhat limited and traffic control was therefore involved and intricate. The RA had failed to blow a breach in the Bund to allow the Buffaloes easy access to the river, but nevertheless everything went smoothly. It was a fine clear night and the enemy shells missed the battalion and the Gloucesters reached the river on time. So that was the taking of Arnhem, which when you look around, of course, there was an awful lot of the remains of the paratroopers when they did their battle, and we couldn't get through because the Germans had cut the road in strength, and we couldn't get through Châteauguay-Bosch, which meant that we couldn't get to Arnhem. So that was what the poor devils had to go through there.
You mentioned that there are a lot of new replacements for the casualties.
Yep.
From the South Wales borders. How did the new incoming replacements relate with the old?
Oh, give me a second. I think that the regular the ones that had been there from D-Day on looked after the youngsters who were coming in, because some of these lads were just 18 actually, so those who were 25 who'd been called up in 1939, they from 22. They were now in the sort of 25 age group, and they looked on these lads as being very young and inexperienced, and I think they were very kind to them actually, which didn't cost them anything.
Was there any effect on the atmosphere within the units and how the
any effect
on the atmosphere in the units and was there any change to the bond between?
Oh, I think they try to give to these youngsters who were coming in as much help as they possibly could, but these fellas of 25 were now the old men. These were the experienced ones, but there wasn't an awful lot left of the more experienced ones. When the war ended, we were in Hamburg, and it just showed you I don't want you to write that, this down, but I don't know which regiment it was who captured two boats, and they were full of cherry brandy, and they got this stuff off the boats and ready for distribution round to the battalions. Well, of course, these young lads were tipping it down, and we had to organize. We had to organize the transport and just load them on. They had no experience of drinking at all, and they were out on their feet. God knows what would have happened if the SS, when we were going into Hamburg, we were warned that the SS was still fighting, and people were then a bit worried because the war was over, basically, and it was a bit frightening that we'd come through all this and now the SS was going to make a stand, and you know, we didn't want casualties at this time. Anyway, nothing happened at all. We just marched in, and that was the end of it. You could see these people coming out of these ruins to see us come in. It must have been very humiliating for them, actually. There we are, these things. But it was a celebration that gave us a lot of work, but I don't put that in either, that they were blotted, most of these young kids.
What had been your first impressions of Germany as you first entered?
Oh God, awful, awful. The bombing was absolutely awful, to be quite frank. And the casualties must have been phenomenal. That's the only word to describe it. Casualties must have been terrific. It always amazes me when you see the various places, like Hamburg, for example, where we finished the war. To what I could remember of Hamburg, and then a few years later, the whole thing has been cleaned up, and it's back to where it was. It's amazing. London, I think, took longer to get back to where it was than what the Hamburg did. I don't know, but I think it did.